shiur that I give about Simcha, and I wanted to focus this year on active like ways, like how can we work on Simcha. But the thing is, to figure out how to work on Simcha, we kind of have to know what it is, and there are slight variations of that. Oh, first, I always forget, every single year, I forget to thank my husband, who always like helps with his signs and helps me prepare and practice and set up and all that stuff. So my husband Yosef gets a lot of credit. Thank you for all of his help in the chair. Okay. And also our next door neighbors, the curses for the chairs. Some of the chairs. Okay. So in order to know how to work on Simcha, first you have to figure out what Simcha is. And it shouldn't be so hard. Probably most people here have heard like Jewish ideas about it, that, you know, a lot of values that maybe secular society around us values, and people might think is like happiness, of like having a lot of money or being really powerful or accomplished or whatever. Even things like family, they can make us happy, and Judaism definitely does put value on them, but that's not the be-all and end-all of a person's ultimate happiness. And to look at the first source is from the very beginning of Michtam Eliyahu. Rav Dassler says, "Ein shem osher gashmi ba'olam," that in fact there is no such thing as real happiness with physical things. Rak osher ruchni, there's only spiritual happiness, that's what really exists. Mishehu ashir beruchniut, huhu ha-meushar, v'lo acher b'shim panim. That's the only way. If you ask someone who has physical things, if they're truly, truly happy, they're not going to be ultimately happy. Maybe they're happy in the meantime, or short-term, whatever, but full, like, general life happiness and contentment is only going to be found in spiritual things. So what does that mean? Source 2, I included the Hebrew and English translation of Mor Nevuchim, just because they're both direct translations from the Arabic, but they're different from each other. And it says, "Kishayada eloka yediat amitit, hodasha atzlacha amitit, asher hi yediat eloka, hi muchana belo safek, l'chol mi sheyada'ahu, velo t'arbeva al adam tara me'ela tarot kulam." That the Hebrew describes, it sounds like success, but the English underneath it says, when a person, he knew God with a certain knowledge, he admitted that true happiness. So whatever the Arabic word is, it may have a connotation of happiness. That what is true happiness is the knowledge of Hashem, and a connection with God is like the ultimate happiness. God is the ultimate everything, and so therefore connecting with Him is the ultimate happiness also. Rambam in general usually talks about philosophy and intellectually, but it's not only intellectually. If we look in source 3 in Zvarim, it's in the context of Bikurim, when the people will come with their Bikurim and say all the different parts. The pasuk tells us, "V'samachta b'chol hatov asher natan lecha Hashem elokecha uveitecha atav aliv v'vager sher bikurecha." That a person should be happy with all the good that they have, that Hashem gave to them and their house and everybody with them. And the Or HaChaim points out, what does that mean, "V'samachta b'chol hatov"? What is this good that a person's supposed to be happy with? Is it just shot of like his bikurim that he's holding, or like what is b'chol hatov? Sounds like maybe it's something greater. So he says two things: "Al derech omro tov Hashem." La ircha alze amar b'chol hatov, hirsh davar hakolel kol hatov, ve'im ze ela hakadosh baruch hu shehu makor hatov, asher natan lecha, hirsh ki davar ze ein erech elav ela matna chinam. So the first thing he says is more of a general version of the Rambam, that it's not just like knowing God, but Hashem is the originator of all good. So that's the ultimate thing for us to be happy with. So be happy like in Hashem, in general, that we have Hashem as a connection. And then as a branch off of there, the second half of it, "V'amar lecha l'shlol zulato, lo malach v'lo saraf yizkeh l'zeh, gam yirmuz v'mamar b'chol hatov el ha-Torah, ke'omram zal v'ein tov el ha-Torah, sh'im hayu b'nei adam margishim v'mitikut v'arivut tov ha-Torah, hayu mishtagim mit la'avim achareha, v'lo yachshov b'ineihem malei olam kesef v'zahav. So it's not just Hashem himself, but he gave us something specific, which is a special present from him of the Torah, that it says, what is the specific Torah that Hashem gave you, that Hashem gave Klai Yisrael specially, is the Torah. And the Torah includes all good. And he says if people realized and they felt the sweetness of and the beauty of the Torah, they would like go crazy and be so excited. They wouldn't even be able to think of anything else that people call goodness. They wouldn't think about money and silver and gold. It's like to recognize what precious things are in the Torah that Hashem gave us. Ultimately, to recognize that would bring a person real simcha. So that's basically idea number one about what simcha is a connection to Hashem. And I thought Calvin and Hobbes from source number 4 illustrated the point very nicely. I like including Calvin and Hobbes in source sheets because they're very deep. I'll let you read it because it's no fun to read a comic out loud. But the end, best part got cut off. Sorry. Get the points anyway, I think. So I thought it's kind of like a marshal of like our relationship with Hashem. Like your whole day could be going wrong. Like everything's messed up. And then boom, like we connect Hashem and like everything's better again, you know? Like what could be better than connecting with the creator of the whole universe? So that's idea number one of what Simcha is or could be. Idea number two kind of really jumped out at me when I started preparing this year. I like Orchot Tzedikim a lot. And I look, it has a whole section called Shar HaSimcha. So I think, great, like, what's it going to tell me? A chiddush of, you know, a nice idea, something what Simcha is or how to work on it or whatever. I'm reading it. Page after page after page after page. The whole entire chapter, like, section is about Bitachon. But I thought it was Shar HaSimcha. Why am I reading about Bitachon? I gave a shiur about Bitachon already. So apparently, Orchot Tzedikim says, and that sefer is not the only one, that ultimately Simcha really means having bitachon. It's not just a general connection to Hashem through whatever way, but it's specifically through having bitachon. And I could have picked like any sentence out of the whole chapter as an illustration of this. I just picked one, source 5. B'midat ha-simcha tluya mitzvah aseh sheyastik adzin al kol marotav shenamar v'yadata im levavcha ki kasher yaser isha b'no Hashem elkecha miyasreka. That simcha, being able to have this means that really is dependent on being able to be matzdik din, to justify and say whatever happens is from Hashem, even if it's hard, even if it seems bad. It's like a parent doing something for their child, which the child feels is troublesome, but really it's because the parent cares about the child, even if the child doesn't understand it. So I'm not going to elaborate so much on the mitachon piece, just because I gave a whole shiur about it already, but if you want it, I have it recorded. Let me know afterwards. But just a really beautiful idea that my husband heard, actually, there's a musician named Roz Hartman, who played in YU this week, and he gave a great Dvar Torah about this, actually, which just fit with the timing of Purim and this idea of Simcha as Bitachon. The same idea, that Simcha is not just a tool that we use to function better, even though it serves that purpose also and a lot of other purposes, but he said it's just the true fact that everything Hashem does is for the best and the realization of that. So here we are in Adar, right? Mishnechnas Adar Marv V'Simcha. What does that mean if Simcha is really Bitachon? So in a way, it's almost really easy to figure out, because what's Purim all about? Purim is all about Hester Panim, and we're not sure what's going on, and we have to have that Bitachon of realizing, like, all these weird twists and turns in the story was because Hashem was trying to save us and help us and give us Nisim, and, like, that's what we have to work on this whole month, and it's like a process of leading up to it. He said, specifically to work on Bitachon in Adar, so that by the time we get to Purim, we can really appreciate the story because our Bitachon's intact. And not only that, but Adzelo Yada is this concept, right, between Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai on Purim. But if you take it in the perspective of Bitachon as Simcha, so what does that mean, not knowing the difference between Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai? It means that no matter what would have been the case, even if it would be that Baruch Haman and Arar Mordechai, Ad Lo Yada, we have to have so much avoda in our bitachon to the point where even if it looks like Tzadik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo, we still don't know the difference because we know it's all from Hashem anyway. Right, yeah. That's actually two sources. Exactly, right. To be able to have the recognition, and that's going to bring us to Simcha, to be a different kind of Simcha a little bit for Purim and in Adar. So that's version number two of Simcha. Rabbi Twersky talks about this also, and he has a book called Let Us Make Man, source number 6. He says, Torah repeatedly tells us that we are to have Simcha, which we usually translate to mean happiness or joy. And as much as a persistent feeling of contentment is beyond our grasp, we are told that Simcha is attainable. It follows that Simcha can coexist with discontent. So he's saying, like, right, this happy-go-lucky kind of simcha doesn't seem to make so much sense if Torah and Chazal and different sources say that simcha is such an important need to have all the time. Like, how could it be happy-go-lucky? Like, life isn't like that. Life isn't just one big game or one big floating in the clouds. Like, things are hard sometimes in life. So he says it has to be that whatever simcha means, it's not a contradiction to discontent. And it must be that it's bitachon. He says, once we accept this premise, it also follows that simcha can exist regardless of the degree of discontent, and even in the presence of frank suffering. This is obviously at odds with the popular concept of happiness, which assumes that suffering and happiness are mutually exclusive, and necessitates a reconsideration of the meaning of simcha. The Gemara in Brachos is exactly what Sar Rachel was talking about, where it explains on Daf Samach and Bet, my chayv levorech al hara kishem shem varech al tova. What does that mean? There is a concept that a person should bless Hashem for the bad, just as they bless him for the good. What is that supposed to mean? Ilmale kishem shem varech al tova hatova meitiv kach mevorech al hara hatova meitiv. Like, is it supposed to mean that there's a special bracha that Hashem is the one who does good and is good? Like, we're supposed to make that same bracha when there is a tragedy that we're supposed to make when something good happens? That's kind of hard to accept and understand. Al b'sor tovot omer hatova meitiv. So it says, no, we know that's not the case, because we're not expected to be in that emotional state of happiness no matter what, because there's a halacha that when there's something good, at least at this point in history, until Mashiach comes, that when something good happens, there is that bracha tov emetiv. But if a tragedy happens, we don't see that. We say bracha tov emetiv because we don't understand it. So it can't be that kind of bracha. So what happens? Amarava lo nitzricha elo lekablinhu b'simcha. It means to bless Hashem on the good and the bad means that we're supposed to accept the bad, the simcha. But that seems like it's the same question, because if we're supposed to accept the simcha, how are we supposed to bless Hashem for the bad? Isn't that a contradiction? Blessing Hashem for the bad sounds like it's good, but it says we don't have to bless Hashem for the bad exactly, because that's not, you know, human. But like, what does it mean then, accepting the simcha? So Rashi says, simply he says, levorech al midat per anut believe of shalim. Not that simcha has to have the traditional meaning to accept it, b'simcha, of like with joy and saying Hashem is good, this is a good thing that happened, I'm happy, everything's fine, no. But b'simcha here, at least, means believe shalim, just accept it full-heartedly that it's from Hashem and it's for the best, and that's all we know, that's all we can say, and that's a version of simcha that we can have when like we're in the downs of life.
It's like serenity as opposed to like jumping for joy. Like,
right, you kind of have to redefine it in English.
Right, like, yeah, what is simcha? Even in the face of like tsar, in the face of like, you're not going to be jumping for joy when something bad happens, but you can be calm about it, that you know what's happening.
Right, like not like angry and like going crazy that it's, meaning it could be difficult, but that doesn't mean that a person's not able to deal with it as a reality, because if we recognize Hashem, then like ideally we should be able to recognize that exactly, that we could continue with life and still have that. In just a different part from the same book, Let Us Make Man, in source 8, Rabbi Tversky says, Torah recognizes the coexistence of conflicting emotions. Suffering need not preclude appropriate rejoicing. And he even says, there are times when the bracha for good fortune and bracha for acceptance of adversity are said simultaneously. Even sometimes the halacha, these two brachas are said at the same time, which just indicates to us that simcha doesn't mean you're not upset at the same time. Rabbi Maybrook said something interesting once that I heard, that it's like a mashal, typical mashal people use, like this whole idea of being happy sometimes borders on the question of tzaddik v'ra'lo and rasha v'tovlo and evil in the world and how to deal with that. And one metaphor that he mentioned that a lot of people talk about in that realm is, it's like someone going to the doctor, right? Where they get a shot and it's really for the best even though it hurts. So he said it's kind of like an adult going to the doctor, where they know, not necessarily a shot, but like maybe a more difficult treatment, where the person knows that that's what's going to heal them, and they really need it, and it's going to get them better. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It could be painful, and they could still be the seder with it, and they could still be satisfied or content, or whatever English word you want to use that's not necessarily joy, even though it's difficult and painful at the same time. So, like, it's almost like a chiddush that they're not opposites exactly, or if they are opposites, it doesn't matter, because you can have them at the same time. So that's explanation number two of what tshuva, of what, I'm looking at the next verse already, of what simcha could be. The next idea of what simcha could be is, I find very unique and innovative, is Rav Kook in Oros HaTshuva. He says, source 9 in Perek Yadalad, section Gimel, Shesholim Mehechan Ha'atzvot Ba'ah. So a person's going to ask, where does sadness come from? It's like this flip side, same idea, is like, what is happiness? Where does that come from? What's sadness? Srichem Liftor, this is what the answer you have to give. Mehashafa shel hamasim hamidot v'adeot ha'ra'ot al hanashama. שהתואמת בחושה החודר אל מירותם, והיא נסלדת, נפחדת ועצובה. That it's this like overflowing, like negative abundance. There's just, when there's just too much negative action, negative character traits, negative ideas flying around, and the person's neshama, which is so sensitive, like tastes and senses it and is scared because it's so bitter, and it just like recoils back and has this like anxiety and gets depressed. Like, he's, the way he just describes the neshama is this like sensitive entity inside of us that like really we don't even realize what's happening to it when a person does something they shouldn't be doing, or even if it's not an act of chit, but just like this is an oras ha-tshuva. The idea, his description of tshuva is broader than traditional tshuva. It could be a person did a sin and it's an action that affects the neshama badly, but it could also just be a person's not working on their midos properly, or even just like being around and listening to the radio and like hearing the crazy things that go on in this society, you know, and like just too much. The neshama can only take so much, and then it just gets messed up and it just wants to run away and it gets depressed because it's not compatible with what it's hearing, which is not emes. וכשאור התשובה מופיע בחפץ הטוב, כשהוא מתגבר בתכונתו המקורית, צינור של עונג ושל שמחה נפתח, והנשמה יונקת מנחת דנים. But what's the solution to this, he says, is when tshuva comes along, the person wants the good again, they're able to be strong in their inner characteristics, and this like pipeline of pleasure and simcha is opened up to them, and they're able, their neshama like drinks up from these like beautiful waters of like connection to Hashem and to MS, and just like what the neshama is really supposed to be doing in the world. And in a different spot, he sort of individualized it even more in Perek Tet Vav, source 10. It says, כששוכחים את מהות הנשמה העצמית, כשהמסיכים דעה מלהסתכל בתוכיות החיים הפנימיים של עצמו, הכל נעשה מעורבב ומסופק. והתשובה הראשית שהיא מהירה את המחשים מיד, היא שישוב האדם אל עצמו, אל שורש נשמתו, ומיד ישוב אל האלוקים, אל נשמה כל הנשמות, וילך ויצער הלאה מעלה מעלה בקדושה ותארה. So, how does a person reach this simcha? What is this tshuva that he talked about in Perek Yudal? He uses this phrase, this like sort of weird phrase. I mean, the whole thing is a little difficult phrasing, but once it's possible to like decode the words, it's beautiful, very poetic. He says like gaber b'tchunato hamakori, like to be strong in a person's original like character traits. And here he just explains more that really, what's the issue, the problem that's making this person sad and requires tshuva is when a person's like distracted from the essence of their neshama, and all the what's going on, what are these things doing? The chataim and the bad ideas and the bad midot, like how is that affecting a person? It distracts him from who he really is and what he's supposed to be doing, and it just makes a person all mixed up and all doubtful. It like reminded me of like all the teenager problems in America now, like when kids don't get proper guidance and they don't learn that like they have a mission in life and that they have an individual neshama that's important, that is unique more than anybody else, like they get messed up, they get confused, they don't know what to do with themselves, they get depressed. Like that's where a lot of problems stem from. And he says the main tshuva to do is actually tshuva to ourselves, and that's what brings us tshuva to Hashem, because we have a chelik of Hashem in us, and that's how we're going to become a simcha. It's like opening up that channel of simcha is because there are all these blockages in the way, which is getting our neshama deep down depressed. Sometimes people don't even know why they're upset, and maybe that could be it. Like maybe they need to be doing something else with their lives, or there's something that's missing. Like you hear about like people having like middle age crisis, you know, where like they used to be like a business. I don't know if you've read articles like this, where they were like a business person and like they just didn't like it and needed to do something else. And they decide they're going to be a teacher in like a public school, like fix all the problems of the next generation, you know, because like they needed to give, they like needed to do something that they weren't really doing before, that was part of their individual potential. I was thinking especially like in this door when we're so like individualized as an orientation, like it's not like a society where we're all like, this is the group, like everyone's just part of the group. It's like, no, we're really into like, what's your job and your personality and your traits and whatever, and like I don't know, I think it really speaks to this generation. So just as a much like bigger deal of what simcha could be, of like coming to one's true self. And it also has a important connection, because that's one idea behind the whole idea of dressing up in costumes, is that like sometimes we get too distracted by like the regular way things look or ourselves, that we need like an extra mask of a cover in order for our real true selves to come out. And it's also an idea behind like drinking on Purim Adzul Yada, which is like Nichnas Yain Yatsa Sod, and that like sometimes like it takes an extra boundary, might seem like, but it's not really, because it's what's going to bring a person in touch with their true selves. And it's also an idea in Sinias, like it's a big concept of like don't forget about who you really are, even if there are a lot of things that you're doing that are not so specific to you or that are not the right thing or whatever it is, that's something that could bring true simcha. So there's one last category of simcha, which I didn't find any sources for, because it's more just like a life reality thing, which in particular for women is that sometimes like simcha is not so logical, or the lack of simcha is not so logical. Sometimes it's just emotional. And like, women have hormones, and like, or a tragedy happens, chas v'shalom, and like, it could be, a person could say, like, it's all from Hashem, whatever, but like, that doesn't really make me feel any better emotionally. So that's not, you know, like, I want to work on simcha so I feel better too. Like, don't just tell me I have to like introspect and have a hard time like working on something to make me happy. Like, there's got to be a way. Like, Judaism also believes that emotional happiness is valuable. And like, if anyone's at the last year, I talked about also how like their actual effects of like simcha versus atvos, of how like sometimes when a person's down, like it weakens them and they come to sin more easily, or like just wasting time, whatever it is. And so there's got to be a value to emotional simcha also. And like, where does that fit in? How do we work on that? So just to sum up the first half of talking about what simcha is or could be, is maybe it's just generally connecting with Hashem through intellect, or just through realizing that we have a connection to Hashem and what He gives to us. A branch off of that is the Torah is something to be besimcha with. Third is specifically bitachon as a way of being besimcha. And fourth is Rav Kook saying that simcha is really being in touch with oneself and having oneself like aligned in the divine scheme of things. And then there's just this emotional simcha that we have to figure out what to do with. So feel free to type in a comment or anything, whatever.
I feel like the bitachon thing, and that doesn't necessarily mean you cannot be sad at that moment.
Right.
Okay, agree that you have your faith in God, but like, there's also should be a time where you just don't feel happy at that moment, but you know that it will pass, and what the truer meaning is, or whatever necessarily, but right. I think there is definitely room for sadness.
Right, so, okay, so good point. Like, the emotional thing is not the same, yeah.
She was going to ask him, like, sort of similar thing, like in Oras HaTshuva. It almost seems like he's saying about, actually, this is also a similar idea in Tanya, kind of like the idea of Atzvos, but Atzvos, as we talked about it last time also, that Atzvos also, I think, because it's almost like talking about, like, covering something up and how that sometimes brings out the essence of it, like when you're able to cover it up more. So he's actually, I think, also the same idea. It's like you're using this idea of Atzvos, this sort of sadness that a person could feel, but actually that could be what helps a person uncover what they truly are inside. It's like there's sometimes that covering over is what helps like the real self sort of like come out. So he's saying like that actually is to be used. As I was gonna ask,
there's a different part of Oras HaTshuva actually where he says, but don't throw out this Atzvos thing altogether, because otherwise you're gonna miss his lesson. Is like the Atzvos is what like pierces the soul to make you realize that you have to return to yourself, because if you don't have that, then like you might just miss the whole boat. Right.
What would the breastlers do with that? Well,
so there's more breastlers, don't worry.
No, I think we said a different share that I think was relatively that we want to talk about the tachlon, that you're saying the point of when you get to despair, that's when it's like lack of the tachlon. And I think that's something that's despair, or something that's not, there's a difference between sadness and like despair, like there's no hope, and that's something that's not a Jewish concept,
right.
I think despair. Like that when you're at the point where it's like it feels like hopeless, like nothing to be done, like you just feel like you're in a hole, like nothing. So then that's when, like, that's a problem, I think. Like, that, I don't think there's, unless let me come to the positive aspect of that, but I think, like, that is where, like, that's a problem. But, like, there definitely halacha, I mean, gives us morning, I mean, Shiva.
Nice,
and, like, morning. Sorry.
Segway. Yeah, segway. No, don't be sorry. Perfect. Exactly. So we need to keep the simcha in check somehow, meaning, yes, like, simcha doesn't have to mean always being happy-go-lucky, but and there's a time to be upset, but that has to be kept in check also. So, like, what are the parameters of this? So we start with halacha. Halacha does have things to say about simcha. I copied the Rambam because I thought his language was more interesting, but the Shulchan Aruch is the same thing. First, Hilchos Yom Tov. Sorry, the numbers got cut off. In Perek Vav, he says, in halacha, he says, "Kasha adam ochel v'shotev v'samech v'regel lo yimashech b'yayin v'vishchok v'kal rosh v'yomar shakol mi sheyosif v'zeh yarbe v'mitzvot simcha." So exactly what you're saying, that like there's a mitzvah to be happy on Yontif, and I didn't include the source about that, but like it's even specific about how to bring about that simcha of like for men it's meat or wine, and for women getting clothes, and for children candy, and like that might seem not to fit with the whole simcha shir. It seems like physical things, but obviously the whole point, like he's saying, is the simcha has to be all geared towards avodas Hashem, and that's going to enhance the Yontif and help us connect Hashem more. And any happiness that a person thinks they're having, even on Yontif, that's just like flighty and frivolous, and it's not geared towards avodas Hashem, that's not the mitzvah. And so that's the simcha that has to be kept in check from one end. But on the other end, there's also halachas of when we're not supposed to be the simcha at all, of avelos. And that's the next source from Perek Yud Gimel in Rambam Silchos Avelos. He says, halach yud alef, ayit kasha adam al meito yoter midai. That yet our atzos has to be kept in check, that even when a person dies, it's obvious that a person's going to be sad, but a person shouldn't be overly distressed. She'amar al tibku lamed, al tigo dulo. Klamar, yoter midai, shezeo minago sha'olam. That a lot of people in the world overdo the mourning, and a person shouldn't overdo it. It's like ridiculous and foolish to be too mournful. And why?
So it shows that you feel like it's hopeless. There's no reason for it. That there's no Hashem. Like, you don't feel Hashem's in the world. Or like,
right.
Like, oh, nothing. They're just gone. No, also, when somebody dies, it's like there's also, if you're totally in despair, then it's kind of question whether you really believe that they're going on to somewhere else or just finished.
Right, so it fits in with other part of Simcha as Bitachon, that like, even when a person, it sounds crazy, even when a person dies in someone's family, Chas V'Shalom, like, the person still has to have an element of Simcha, because if Simcha just means Bitachon, then that means that's what's keeping you in check, and that's the amount of Simcha. Okay, they're not supposed to have so much Simcha, Chas V'Shalom, and we'll see in a minute that a person who doesn't keep the halachos of avelos is called an achzari, that they're like cruel because they're not realizing the sadness in the situation from a human perspective, but the simcha has to be kept in check and the avelos has to be kept in check. He says, Ela ketzad yaseh, shlosh lebechi, shiva lehesped, shloshim yom litzuspora ulishar chamisha dvarim, that there's specific halachic mandated amount of time to be sad in different degrees, that 3 days are set aside for crying, and 7 days for hesved and eulogies, and 30 days for haircuts and other restrictions. And the Shulchan Aruch actually adds to this, it says that for a Talmud Chacham, actually, it's even more time, that a person should recognize that, like, loss of godless B'Torah is something to be sad about, and more sad about, and there, the time is longer that for Bechi is even a whole month, and for eulogies is for the whole year. And like, if anybody's been following Aish.com since Rabbi Noah Weinberg passed away, that like, we see that that's what's happening. And it's not bad that everyone keeps sending in the stories and they keep writing more and more articles. It's like, well, get over it. Like, you're not supposed to be sad for so long. Why are you dwelling over this tragedy? But no, that's not the point. The point is he was a Gadol Torah. And so he gets a longer time of like, less simcha, however you want to call it. And that's appropriate at that time. Like, different times in life, there are different amounts of simcha that are appropriate. And part of working on simcha is knowing when to be how much the simcha and when not to be.
I feel also, like, all the continued articles, everything, like, a lot of, like, someone's perspective of, like, what, you're keeping it, right, like, in a sense of keeping it alive, and also what can we, like, what would he want us to learn, like, what would he, like, kind of, just, like, I don't say positive thing from it, but, like, not, it's not in a negative, depressed sense, it's kind of, like, Rudolph did so much, and we have to continue his legacy, and
right.
We have to continue, like, it's kind of like living up to him, like I said, just saying who he was, and trying to kind of spread who he was, and living up to him. And I think that's, like, what I think, like, part of, I mean, mostly Avelos is, and Judaism is kind of, like, it's mourning our loss, and figuring out what we do with it, but we're not mourning, we're not sad, really, for the person, we're not sad for the person, because we know the person's gone to a good place. A person, you know, it's not like a person gone. It's just like, well, we lost him. You know, we
right.
lost the person, and so where do we go from there?
Right. Another good segue. The next halacha of the Rambam, Yudbet, is talking about this. He says there, the same thing we said before. Kol mi she'eino mitabel kamo shetzivu chachamim, harei zachzari. We have to make sure we're not being too light about this. That's cruel. Ela yifachid yidag yifashvesh b'masav yachzor b'tshuva. That it's a time for us to think about working on ourselves, and like, again, like, if this person has positive things that they taught in their life, for us to hear all that and help us grow. And that's the idea of a Shiva house also, of like talking about the person and what they did in their life, and it's a really time to introspect. and to grow from it. Again, we have the idea of tshuva here. So the next part, when I first heard about it, it was a surprise to me. I don't know if you've heard this before, but he says more than that. Ve'echad mibnei chavura shemit, tida'eg kol ha'chavura kula. He says it's not only an immediate relative where a person's chayv and hilchos avelos, where they have to be sadder than usual and have a less degree of simcha. Even if chas v'shalom, someone in person's social circle has passed away, that lowers a person's simcha also, and that's appropriate. He's saying a person should worry, the whole chaver should worry. Kol shlosha yamim harishonim, dafka, the whole first 3 days, like they can really be sad, and that's appropriate. You're at asmo, ki'il cherev munacha lo al tzavaro. It's not just they should be sad, they should be scared. It's like they should feel like a sword is at their neck. And until Shiva's over, they have to feel like they're being cornered in a corner by a sword. And from this point on, he doesn't even send like an end, really. It sounds like does that mean for life? Like, what does that mean? He should feel like that even there's like a sword against him, like in the shuk somewhere. Like, it should just, these things in life are supposed to remind us and like sort of snap us into reality and keep us in check about what we're doing. And that's not a time to be so besimcha. Even bitachon definition of simcha, he doesn't say you have bitachon, he says introspect, because this is a time for tshuva. It's to wake us up from our sleep. Should cut out the last sentence, not relevant, but that it's dafka, no matter how you define simcha, sometimes it's even appropriate to not focus anyway on those kinds of simcha. Okay, connect with Hashem, yeah, and like you could work that in. Well, connecting to Hashem really means bringing ourselves in. It's all the same thing, is one way to look at it. But just like to keep the halacha in mind as really specific parameters, and given recent and current occurrences, like I know some people, sometimes maybe it doesn't have to be limited to a person's personal, immediate circle of chavra, but it could even be a little bit broader than that, of like who a person identifies themselves with. Like when the tragedy in Mumbai happened, or Merkaz Harav, which the first year anniversary is coming up, Adar, and they're doing a whole memorial for it, like across the world, and that's something that, like, there were talk about it. I don't know if you want to tell them, call them Tami Chachamim and Hespedim going on, this book that was published recently about the boys who were killed, and like people were really upset, and it's like, well, you didn't know them, but somehow, like, living in a place like the Heights or like, you know, yeshiva boys, like, kind of rings a bell of like chavura to a lot of people, and that's very scary, and that's okay to not be so besimcha in the immediate time after that kind of a thing happens. Not just okay, it's appropriate. So that's basically in terms of halachas and specific parameters about simcha. The next part of the shir is a little bit of a disclaimer, kind of, because not everyone deals with simcha the same way. Even if you're talking about, this is mostly in the realm of like emotional simcha now, but do with it what you will, whatever implications you see. But like you were saying, like, what do the wrestlers have to say about that? You know, I'm very used to wrestlers. So even at the time when it's appropriate to be a besimcha or not, or whatever it is, we can see that there are different drachim that are fine to have different drachim in dealing with happiness or lack thereof. And people have different personalities, and there are going to be different ways. Like, what one source might say may not ring so true to one person or another. Like, I realized kind of last time I was a little bit heavy on the breslov, so here I try to even that a little bit. So first we'll go to breslov. Rabbi Nachman, just because he's like top simcha person, that's kind of why it's like his big topic. In Likutei Moharan Tanina, the second half of his book, Kaf Dalid, he says, it's the third source on the second sheet, so here he's already using the word always. Like, we know that there are times when simcha is supposed to be kept in check, but he is using the lashon of always. Why? This is in last year's sources. Anybody is getting deja vu? And he says that, at least according to Rabbi Nachman, everybody has this danger of being brought into depression. And like, it could be you would like listen to this and be like, I don't know, I don't feel like I'm about to get depressed every second. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But based on his life, people say that he was kind of this way, and probably his followers are this way. And there are people, like, I kind of boil it down to almost like a sikhli regish thing, like people who are a little bit more intellectually dominated or a little more emotionally dominated, that like he's talking to the emotionally dominated people, where like sometimes, like, people really, like, get down a lot about things. And he's saying, if you're that kind of person who's more emotionally dominated and you're in danger of being caught in depression or being down a lot, then, like, don't worry about keeping yourself in check too much. Just try to be happy. Like, yeah, there are downsides of being happy, he says, but that it's more important that you should not get depressed. He says, Asha gam leave nishbar hu tov ma'od im kol zeh hu rak be'ezo sha'ab ro'oy lak bo'alo ezo sha'ab ayom l'shaber li bo'alo farish tich atol l'fanav yibarach v'muvah etzlenu, that, like, yeah, there is, even for wrestlers, there's a time that's appropriate to be upset, which is mainly, we'll see in Source 15, is the time of tefillah and tshuva, which is a time when status is appropriate. But that shouldn't take over much of your day. That should just be a defined part of the day. Aval kol hayom kulo tzarich li'o b'simcha. The whole day, really? You should really be b'simcha. And I don't think he just means having a connection to Hashem in general, or, like, only having bitachon. Yeah, amun and bitachon actually also has a really primary place in Breslovism. But it seems like, you see before, he said, even if it means, like, saying silliness, that takes it, that you need to be b'simcha, then do that. So, like, obviously, being silly is not what brings a person to bitachon usually. He's probably talking about, like, emotional simcha. And I have a song. Next one. Actually, Yosef Karziner has a song, which is about, it's an adaptation of this, or maybe there's another Rabbi Nachman, I don't know, piece that's more similar to this, but the song is even more extreme than the words, and here is, like, even if you need silly words, then do it, but... Like, you can't come to Simcha unless you say silly things and, like, be a crazy person. What? This year, but the verses are kind of funny. Like, one of the verses is like, even sometimes I'm going to be doing things that seem really strange, but that's okay, because you have to be silly and you have to be happy, and, like, that's okay. So, like, that's one approach that, like, in general, you know, given the halachic parameters, some people could really use that and need that, and sometimes everybody needs that. Like, you can't live life without a sense of humor, you know. And he says, just to finish up, three lines from the bottom. That if you're gonna get a little bit of holus, like, okay, so the Rambam says holus is terrible, don't go anywhere near it. But, like, maybe you need a little holus sometimes so you don't get depressed. It's okay. Okay. Emotional breathless perspective and approach.
What
did
you say,
holos? Holos is kind of like frivolity, like pointless, happy, silly kind of thing. Kind of like empty happiness. But so the next source, as you'll see, is Rav Soloveitchik and Halacha Command, which is a very different tone than Rav Nachman.
Today's generation, like, people are talking about today's, everyone's depressed, or people are depression is, like, the biggest, I don't know, clinical, like, the psychologists and everything are dealing with. Like, I think, like, maybe it wasn't such a problem, like, around with that earlier. I said, like, maybe, like, I mean, I guess for someone is not so connected, but I'm saying, like, you have to know where you're, like, where you're likely to go, you know. Like,
so you could say that the reason nowadays there's this rampant depression is maybe because of Rav Kook. Like, maybe people are just misguided and don't know what to do with themselves in the world. I'm like, that's why they're depressed. So just get your spot and then you'll be fine. But, right, everyone has to realize, like, who they are and where they're holding. And so, going to Rav Soloveitchik, he's talking about, he says, even if at times it should be afflicted, he's talking about the halachic man with a deep melancholy, affixed from, excuse if you're not used to the, like, complicated lingo, hold on, we'll explain afterwards, a fixed firm Archimedean point that is outside and above the turbulence of his soul, beyond the maelstrom of the effect of life, a true source of peace and tranquility he has to have. That a person, even if they're in deep melancholy, they have to have peace and tranquility to, like, hold them strong. Halachic man vanquishes even the fear of death, which, as was explained above, is rooted in his world perspective by means of the law and the halacha, and he transforms the phenomenon which so terrifies him into an object of man's observation and cognition. So, like, the way he's dealing with things that are terrible or sad, tragedy, death, that could get a person down is not through, like, getting yourself up and happy, but it's more, like, intellectual, and it's more, like, rooted of just, like, think and let your mind take yourself over and realize, and that's maybe more like bitachon and other things we were talking about, of, like, that can make a person be okay with things and not get into deep melancholy and down. And he just continues, but if Allah man stays clear of a melancholy and dread, he also recoils from any exaggerated spirit of joy, any sense of celebration lacking a healthy logical foundation, and any spiritual drunkenness. So that harks back to the Rambam, which we know Rav Soloveitchik quotes from a lot and is based on a lot, that the halachic man doesn't get too crazy, okay? The breslov man gets into holus sometimes for, you know, l'shem shemayim, but the halachic man does not. Halachic man is characterized by an utmost festive dignity. Like, if that phrase rings, that you identify with that phrase, then maybe you're a halachic man. Like, festive dignity. You can be b'simcha, but, like, with dignity. It kind of reminds me of, like, Breuer's a little bit. Like, yeah. In a beautiful way. Upright and appropriate and respectful and just, but, like, happy. Like, things are good, positive, you know, but just within check, within boundaries.
So what does it come from? Sorry. It reflects the phrase from, like,
yes. Yes. Is he the one who quotes that? Yeah, he quotes that in a different spot also. I don't think it's in this quote that I copied, but yeah, exactly. This stance prevents man from being attracted to any of the extremes of the emotional life and places a bar against his spirit, which tends at times to shatter all bounds of restraint and control. Whenever halachic man rejoices, it is with the knowledge that this earthly life should not give rise to any exaggerated joy. Therefore, he does not exceed proper limits in times of happiness and jubilation. His effective life is characterized by a fine equilibrium, a stoic tranquility. So, like, very different tones in these two approaches. But what's interesting about it is that both ways can be within the context of halachic simcha or lack thereof, and can lead to appropriate avodas Hashem. And just, like, it was very interesting. I saw two stories, one in a Hasidic context and one in a Litvish context that Rav Soloveitchik actually quoted elsewhere, that are pretty similar about or lack of simcha, unfortunately, where the Eish Kodesh, the Piyasetzner Rebbe, who lived in the Warsaw Ghetto, his son was really sick during Sukkot one year in the ghetto, and came Yom Tov, and, like, everything was really just, like, terrible, and it was, like, the whole kehila was in really dire straits, and it must not have been easy, obviously, for him either. But so they're in shul, they managed to have a minyan still, and the chazan is starting to daven Yom Tov davening, and he just breaks down in tears because, like, it was just too much. What does the Piyasetzner and the Rebbe do? The one whose son is, like, dying as they're davening there, he goes, Yom Tov, like, keep davening the simcha. Like, what are you crying in the middle of Yom Tov davening for? That's not the right way to be. And time went on, and his son actually died on Shabbos Chol Moed, and, like, he didn't react until after Shabbos. Shortly, it was Chol Moed, but, like, as soon as Shabbos ended, he let himself cry a little bit. But, like, Yom Tov comes again, Simchas Torah, he was right back there again with the Hasidim. He was giving his tish, he was giving his Divrei Torah, giving the Chizuk to other people, and, like, how was he able to do that? Obviously, this is a Gadol Torah, and, like, it's a really, really high level, but, like, this is not the man whose life orientation is, like, the Rambam and Halachic man of, like, I'm living everything in check and whatever. Like, no, this is Hasidim who, like, go crazy on Simchas Torah and, like, do Simcha up to the utmost, but this is what he did. And then Rav Soloveitchik says, Vilna Gaon, his brother, was very ill, and he died on Shabbos. And also Vilna Gaon, he didn't react. After Shabbos, he broke down in tears. And, like, very different people, but they're both trying to keep halacha, they're both trying to be appropriate when it comes to what type of simcha to have, and, like, what type of not simcha to have, and, like, know how to act in different times. It's, like, a huge, crazy lifetime of avoda that none of us probably couldn't, I don't know, you know, but, like, just to see, like, what's out there, what are high levels, and it doesn't matter your personality to be able to keep the halacha, to be able to develop a high level of what is Shabbat and Simcha.
Just a question, when he says
so he has, it's very elaborate, his concept of halachic man, it's like a whole book, where there are a lot of different aspects, so it's essentially, it's like a combination between what he calls cognitive man and homo religiosus, where, like, it's a combination of, like, the scientific mind, who's, like, objective and abstract about things, versus, like, the religious, like, intense spiritual personality. And it's, like, it's, like, the perfect balance in how he talks about it. So, like,
he's saying that's how we should all be? Say that's ideal? That's what he's saying?
It's kind of the implication. I don't know. Anyone who's read it disagree. Like, essentially, I think it's his perspective of how everyone should be. But he's saying it's the perfect balance, meaning like even the halachic man does not, he's not like stoic without the, he's stoic tranquility, he's like equilibrium, he's okay, and he's besimcha. He also describes the Vilna Gaon on Simchas Torah, who was like in a rapture of dancing with the Torah, of like, obviously he's using the Vilna Gaon as an example of someone who's sort of like a halachic man, and he's saying on the Simchas Torah, he was like standing, singing and clapping and like in a rapture of like whatever, but then as soon as it was done, he like stopped. And he was back to normal and put himself together again. So that's like the description that he's dealing with. It's not as extreme as Breslov, but like it's not totally straight and like unemotional, I guess, either. To him, it's a perfect balance. Mm-hmm. So, read the book. It's a good book. A little dense, but... okay. So we have... Okay, so now we can really get some more specific of like really what do we do to work on Simcha. Okay, we figure out what kind of personality we are, so we'll kind of take that into account when figuring out how to work on this, keep in mind halacha, but now really what do we do? So it kind of depends on what you think Simcha is. So we're going to go like in order of the four, five types of Simcha that we talked about and see like if Simcha is this, then what does that mean to work on it? So the first one we had was like the Rambam and the Or HaChaim, which said really it's like a connection to Hashem is Simcha. So I guess if we're working on that, that means we have to work on our relationship with Hashem. So source 15 is Rabbi Nachman again, and it's very ironic because if you remember in the past section, he referred to this idea of a lev nishbar and like this kind of davening, which is like the only time to be sad. Here he's talking about it more in known as his bodus. He says his bodus umala al yona gedola min akol zahinu likbalo al kol panim sha'a o yoter libodilu vado beiz hadar basadel lefarish sechato beinu levin kono betanut amal tot amal tot. It's like this, it's also like sort of a science in Breslov Chassidus of his bodus, of where it's this time when a person takes time out every day where they daven Hashem at like out by themselves in a room or in the field, which feel of asicha zu ye belashon shemedabrim bo dehayne belashon ashkenaz b'medinatenu ki belashon hakodesh kashel l'foreish kol sichato v'gam in halev nimshach acharei diburim machmash enu mor bal kol kach belashon. And he goes on, he says that this kind of bodus is tefila that a person should do in their native language, because sometimes it's hard to understand the Hebrew. If you don't actually speak Hebrew, like it gets a little choppy, like stop and think about it, it's not as personal. He says there's a time a person should take out besides for that tefila where you're just like pouring out your heart to Hashem, just saying anything you want. Like, how do you develop a relationship with a person? I'm talking to them. So if Simcha is a relationship with Hashem, then the perfect way to develop that is by talking to him about anything. And he says, you should be careful to do it every day, for an hour, whatever, 2 minutes is good too. The rest of the day will be b'simcha. So you could take the last line in two ways, at least from my perspective. One is what it sounded like he was saying in the last source that we had from the Likutei Moharan, which was like, well, his bodus is supposed to be a sad time where you do tshuva and you part your heart to Hashem, and then the rest of the day should be b'simcha. They're separate. But it could be they're linked also, because, like we said, a person develops a relationship with someone through talking to them, and if simcha is a relationship with Hashem, then a person develops simcha through talking to them. So, like, if you have his bodus time, therefore, directly linked, the rest of your day will be simcha. Not because you got it all out and you're done with your atzvos, but because it's going to lead you to be happy. Because you just poured out your heart to Hashem, and now you're so close to him. And like, what brings more simcha than that? It's kind of like the Rambam on Tfila also talks about this idea of just like free-flowing speech. Like once a day, a person by themselves just like talk to Hashem is this huge thing, and it makes sense. The Rambam also is talking about like getting close to Hashem. Sure. Yeah, not all of these are like so separate. Like a lot of them overlap in terms of what your definition of simple is, what you do, just for convenience to kind of organize it. But they all, yeah, a lot of it overlaps.
From the mm-hmm. perspective also. Something that someone shared with me was specifically you say something like everything happens for a reason, right? So we think Hashem because we know that like everything happens for a reason. But there's some friend of mine, she flipped it the other way. She's like, it's not that everything happens for a reason, it's that there's a reason for everything. First is the reason, and that's why it happened. It's almost like it puts it first. So it's almost like taking it out of the perspective of, oh, it just happened, and well, there's a reason for it. It's like, no. First there was the reason, and then it became whatever it was that had to happen, and that's what happened. anything else, or just kind of it flips it a little bit. Like first was the actual thought, the action that Hashem wants that the like intention that Hashem had, and then the action comes out afterwards. Also with the issue of the world, the whole world, but kind of on that whole soul. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm interested in a specific like way that people could do this. If it's not by specifically this specific Hesbodus kind of thing, in source 16 it says more in general. It's from this book Sefer Simcha. It's like a compilation of all different things about Simcha. It's quoted from Reishis Chachma, different Sefer. It says Ofenei Knot Adam Simcha Blibohu Kishay Yachshov B'Tovar Haborid Brachalav. What's the way to be B'Simcha? And as we're going to see, it relates to developing relationship with Hashem, not just by like talking it out directly with Hashem, but maybe even by taking a step back and considering and thinking about, like, apart from that relationship, what are all the good things that Hashem does for me? The Amar B'Libo, Ilat Kol Ha'ilot V'Sibat Kol Ha'Sibot Shebaravim Tzikonim Za'im Hakol Ba'Avur Ha'Adam. That Hashem, who's like the mover and shaker of the whole everything in the world, He made this whole world for people. V'Hashgachato Pratid Alai Im Hayot Shel L'Gduato Ein La Tachlet V'Sof Yashgiach Ayetush Katan Kamoni Shani Nechshav La'Ein Ne'Gduato Yibarach Le'Tivim Mi B'Tovar Ha'Olam Hazeh V'Tovar Ha'Olam Habam. That, like, really just think about it. Like, what am I, a little mosquito? It says, like, next to Hashem. Hashem is like the infinite being. Here He is. He can do anything. Is everywhere, you know. And like, He has Hashgacha Pratis for me, for the human race. Like, Bishvili Nivra Ha'Olam. What does that mean? Like, Ha'olam, like, that means, like, when you're standing, like, at the ocean and in the mountains and, like, staring at, like, whatever, the rainbow in the sky, that, like, that's just for me to view, like, for human beings to have, like, benefit from? Like, what is that? It's crazy. Like, and that's going to bring a person also to have a greater, stronger, like, love for Hashem. The Rambam also talks about it, how that develops Avas Hashem, but also Simcha, of, like, being more connected to Hashem because you appreciate what He's doing. And anytime a person could just like think about that. And specifically, my husband actually heard an idea that there's an idea like during Modim when we're saying thank you to Hashem anyway, to like think about like two or five things that you want to specific that you see in your life that you want to thank Hashem for. People do it as part of the Cheshbon Nefesh, like every night, every week, every month, whatever it is, of just like really bringing it down to like our individual level, like seeing whether it's actual Hashgacha Pratis or just like in general Hashem put in all these great elements in the world for me and in my life, and that could really develop a simcha. Another idea, this whole topic of like simcha, I don't know if I said this already, I don't know, I'm not remembering. Borders on like Tzadik Ralo and Rashi V'Tovlo. So there's an idea that actually some philosophers talk about, not particularly Jewish, that evil, in order for something to be absolutely evil or absolutely good, a person who's involved in it needs to recognize that it's evil or good. Otherwise, like, it can't be totally evil or good. Like, if something bad is happening to you, but you don't think it's bad, then, like, what's the problem? You know, like, it's kind of hard to think about because it's, like, outside of people or inside of people, and, like, how does that relate from our mental perspective? But it just means that, like, it's easier to understand, I think, with good. Like, if someone's trying to do you a favor and it's good for you, like, if you're a kid, right, and their parent is giving them healthy food so they'll grow up and they'll be a healthy individual human being, like, they don't know, they don't care, like, so they don't feel like it's a good thing, so it can't be the ultimate good. Maybe it's good on some level because they're still keeping them healthy, but like it's not totally good because the kid doesn't even realize it's for their benefit. So just one way that perspective can also help us, related to this quote from Sefer HaSimcha in terms of our vote of Simcha, is just Hakaras HaTov. Like, if we have Hakaras HaTov, that's what this is. This is saying, like, have Hakaras HaTov. Look around your life and realize the brachas that Hashem gives you, and that's going to bring you the simcha. Well, Hashem is giving you the brachas anyway, so isn't it good anyway? It's not totally good, because I'm not happy about it, because I don't recognize it. And that's kind of, like, the second title of this year of, like, happiness is in the eyes of the beholder, that, like, so much of simcha is perspective. And Hashem gives us a whole huge plate. Every person has their plate of issues, of good and bad and everything. And a lot of times, maybe it's like Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes we're just... naturally, we notice the bad things more easily because, like, maybe it's because there are more good things and it's easier to notice that one that's out of the, you know, that's unusual. But, like, what does that mean if the odd one out is the bad thing? That means that everything else is good. Like, what am I complaining about? Like, go count your blessings. Like, it's not a joke, this count your blessings thing. Like, it's really, that's how we could develop a close relationship with Hashem. And that's how we could live a life of simcha, is just by noticing all the brachas that Hashem gives us. And also, this Roz Hartman, who gave this concert here this week, he just said another idea of that's related to this Buddhist thing of that Rivka Imenu, what happens when she had problems in her stomach and she was torn, drawn to Avodah Zarah and the Shul and whatever, and she didn't know what was going on. It says, Vatelech Lidrosh at Hashem. And like everyone knows Rashi, she went to Shem Aver. But pshat, Lidrosh at Hashem, she went to find out from Hashem because she knew it was all from Hashem. And like just having that perspective of Emuna and Bitachon and developing a connection from Hashem through Akaras HaTov and talking to him and recognizing what's going on from him, that's a huge way to develop Simcha.
You continue.
Also, just another version of this, also from Tanya in Perek Lamed Gimel, source 17, says, sometimes, again, it's just how do we look at things. V'nei kama gadola simchat hedyot v'shafel nashim v'karvut tola melch basa v'dam hamitachsein v'dar yito imo v'beto v'kal v'chomer le'in keitz l'kirvat v'dirat melch malchiyam lachem v'kodesh baruch hu v'dichtiv kimi hu zeh asher ariv libo l'gashay ilayinu mashem v'al zeh tikinu litein shevach v'odaya l'shmoy v'rach v'chol boker v'lomar ashreinu matov holkenu v'chulei v'ma yafi yirushatenu. That just a specific way to work on this recognizing the good and keeping Hashem in mind and everything is specifically every morning when a person wakes up, like together with their Moda Ani, just to say, like, Ashrinu Mato Volcano, wow, like Hashem really gave me a good lot. Like, Baruch Hashem, he woke me up this morning, like, he's our Hashem and he's with us every day. A person would be so happy if a human king or an archon, whatever, a celebrity, a sports person, like, whatever people look up to, you know, like, if a human person they look up to would come to their house, like, that would give such great simcha. And here it is, Hashem, who's the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, and he's with us all the time. Like, realize that. And, like, that brings such simcha. And more, Umayafi Yerusha Teinu Klomar, Kmo Sha Adam Sasis Amech Birusha Shenafla Lo Hon Atak Shelo Amelbo, Kain Vyoter Mikain Ain Kate, Yesh Lanu Lismoch, Ayerusha Teinu, Hanchalinu, that Hashem did, Avotenu, Hu Yuchar Hashem, Amitia, Asher Afil, Be'eretz Mitachat, and that it's like a Yerusha, like a person gets like a free inheritance of riches from someone. They didn't have to do any work for it. Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem gave us all these brachos. You didn't have to do anything with it. Like, that is something that could just bring such simcha. Okay, so we got the Rambam, we got the Bitachon. I just included another source. I don't think we even need to go through it at this point. I feel like we said a lot about Bitachon. Source 18, again, is Orchos Tzadikim, just saying, like, we need to have Bitachon in order to have simcha. And so that's kind of more the intellectual aspects of, like, being besimcha and how to work on that. So what happens with Rav Kook and what happens with this emotional simcha? We're left to figure out. So Rav Kook leads me to another Yosef Kartinger song, which is based on Likutei Moharan in source 19, Lavo l'simcha hu al yidei ma shemotzei ba'atzmo eize nekudah tova al kol panim kemvor al pasuk azam elokai bo'odi ayin sham. That, like, everyone should recognize, again, we have this Rav Kook's idea of, like, simcha is aligning oneself in Hashem's plan, and, like, what's my task and who am I, and recognize, and everyone has a mission. And if a person realizes, like, I have a nekudah tova, like, people sometimes get down about themselves to, like, realize, like, there's something good in everybody, and, like, really focus on a person's own strengths, that could bring them to simcha. And he quotes the pasuk Azam Elokai Bo'odi in a whole separate part of Likutei Moharan. He talks about, it's like in Breslov Chassidus, it's like called Azamra, like this concept of, like, looking at the good in oneself, and that's a really major idea. And even if it just means, like, Hashem put me in the world as a Jew, that there's a specific taket as a Jew, even if a person's having trouble, like, figuring out, like, I don't know, a lot of people, like, I know when I was, like, Israel time, finishing high school, like, college, like, what am I supposed to be doing with myself, whatever. So, like, even if a person hasn't yet figured out their personal traits or whatever, like, just know, like, we're Jews, we have the Torah to keep, we have this huge mission in the world, like, that's a huge simcha. And just a brief little musical interlude. That's fun. What else I'm doing? I guess it's looking as good as it could be. The same thing is they do that a lot. If you ever listen to, like, it was a cartoon or in, like, somebody's fun stuff, it's all from the good tomorrow. Yes, I'm going to go through a lot of stuff. Okay. Okay, so that's basically, that's like the essence of like Rav Kook. It's just like, yeah, so that means you have to see the good in yourself, whether it means actually figuring out your topic in life yet, or like even if it's not that much, just realizing the bare minimum of like, we have a mission in this world. Like, each of us is a neshama and is a Jew, and like, that's a huge thing to be simcha about. Like, that's amazing, and that could really lift a person up. And sometimes really figuring out a person's individual kishar, one could bring such simcha. Like, I don't know, that happens to me a lot of times where like, like painting, I'm like, sometimes like I haven't painted in a really long time. It's like I'm like annoyed. I don't know why. I just need to paint. Okay, you know, like whatever it is. Like everyone has their thing, and sometimes it just takes that, like taking the time out to do what a person really needs to be doing themselves, to be themselves. That brings some fun. So just get to the final category of this emotional thing, right? Like, what if you're just in a bad mood? What are you supposed to do then? It's not like about my inner being. It's not about like bitachon. I'm just annoyed. I don't know. So there are a few different things. And obviously, like, psychology has tons of ideas about this, and like, I'm sure everyone here could like spout out a billion ideas about how to get yourself in a better mood. But just like to point out that really Torah has ideas about this also, and often the same ideas, and that's something that's a Torah value, not just a general secular or psychology value. Just a couple different ideas that are at the bottom of the source sheet. Source 20 is just there could be. Music, yeah, is like the hugest thing. I even afterwards, I was like, wait a minute, what about Shaul? Like the whole thing about like Shaul was, you know, like deep in psychological distress, and like they said, well, let's get you someone to play the harp, and then you'll be happy again, and then you can have nivuah, and everything will be fine. So they got him David HaMelech to play in the harp, and like that was good. And like music has this therapeutic aspect, and here also in Malachim, where it was a situation of like lack of nivuah is something that only comes in the time of simcha. And music is the solution to that. That, like, for a Navi, or this applies to everybody, just an example, that music and song is just something that lifts people's spirits. It doesn't matter what the reason you're upset is. That's just like a blanket solution, kind of. And okay, it's temporary. Long term, we have to work on our bitachon, and we have to work on our relationship with Hashem, whatever. But like, sometimes short term, you just need a little lift, you know? So like, playing that music in the kitchen when cooking and whatever, or like going to singing and davening, or whatever it is, just like around having a niggun in your head, like that could really lift a person's spirits. So music. 21 is from the Gemara, quoting from a pasuk in Mishlei Yudbet, that says Daga belev ish yisachana, that a person has worry in their heart. What should a person do? Yisachana. What is yisachana? There are two opinions. The Gemara says, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chadamar. Yisachana midato, the charamar yisichana leachirim. So it's like a pun. The one explanation is yisachana from the lashon. It's a little different letters, but who cares? It's a pun of like hesachadat, of like putting it out of your mind. Like one way to get into a better mood, away from something that's bothering you, is just like not to think about it and get away. And the other way is almost the opposite. Yisichana from the word sicha, to discuss, of to actually deal with it and like to talk it out with friends, with other people. And I've heard Dr. Pelkovitz, when he talks about, like, the psychology Torah person, if people haven't heard of him, when he talks about, like, stress and people having difficult issues and, like, how to deal with things, he calls it a toolbox. And I think I remember him quoting this, Kamara, not even sure. But he said people have different ways of dealing with things, and that's okay. And sometimes people want to deal with them by not dealing with them, and they need to escape, and they need to go online, and they need to watch movies, and they need to go on a day trip, you know, and like that's okay, and that could lift a person's spirits and get them out of a downtime. And sometimes they need to just vent, and they need to call their friends, and this is especially for girls and women, like, who are like us communicators, you know, like just to call your friend for an hour and a half and like cry to them on the phone, or just like schmooze about nothing or whatever, and that's also therapeutic and gets a person in a better mood, and it's like so pasha. And like also especially, one thing that I've heard him talk about also is like, men and women sometimes deal with things really differently. Like, especially it could be an issue with like a husband and wife, where like, it's not all, sometimes one could have one way or the other way. Like, it's not necessarily universal, but a lot of times where like men want to kind of escape and women want to like talk about it and talk about it, and they're like, stop.
I have that in the book. Yeah,
I was
just
thinking.
Men go into their cave to deal
with
things.
Uh huh. Right.
They
talk.
Men from Mars and Venus explains that the women chase them into their cave, and the patients stay out of the cave.
Right. So in other words, like, it's something to recognize that like both ways are equally valid. Obviously, that's not to the exclusion of dealing with the issue, ultimately, any real issue that's not just, like, a momentary hormonal thing or whatever, like, needs to be dealt with, and that's a longer-term type of simcha and type of issue that we sort of talked about already, or takes practical planning, etc. But, like, sometimes people just need to get away or just need to vent or whatever, and it takes a lot of compromise, and it's a different avoda to, like, work that out between men and women or husband and wife, but, like, just in general to know that those are different derechs that are totally, like, both good and sometimes both necessary for either one. So there are other ways to deal with it. And then in just source 22 is a little different speed, where in the same source in Dvarim that we had on the first sheet from the section about Bikurim, the Baha Turim says, what's in the Samachta B'chatov? That he says the section after this in the Chumash is about Meiser. And he says, that's the Tov that you have to be happy with. Samach Le Kitechala L'Aser. Shabishvil ha-meiser tismach b'chol ha-tov. K'mo shadashu aser bishvil shatit asher. That when you're done giving meiser, that's when you're going to be happy. Because what makes people happy is giving to other people. And like you could say it's related to Rav Kook about like fulfilling oneself, whatever, but like it's its own value. If sometimes just doing chesed, of moving like outside of yourself, outside of your emotions and outside of your personal circumstance, just to like feel better, and that really could bring simcha. Asher, bishvil shatit asher, usually is with an ayin from the Gemara, with to be rich. If you give tzedakah, you'll be rich. But it could be upon also with an aleph, tit asher, is to be happy. And that's another way. Just as a side note, I also saw somewhere else that like if people are in specific like hard circumstances, sometimes just like looking at other people who got through that situation and realizing that like gamze yavor is like another way. And just like really all these kinds of things, like they're all rooted in the Torah, and sometimes it's a short-term simcha, sometimes it's a long-term simcha, sometimes it's a halachic man simcha, sometimes it's a breslov simcha, whatever it is, like there's different drachim and there's different steps, and it's a really long avoda. And I'll say it again, like last time, the fact that I'm giving a shiur about simcha does not mean by any amount at all that I'm mastered this mida at all, but like it's just something that we could all, you know, Mirz Hashem, Hashem will help us work on it, and we'll live happily ever after.
Thanks for putting it together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. For sure.